Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I will be going solo. In this episode, I'll be discussing my observations regarding Victor Wembanyama's first summer league game, and I'll look at the opening days of free agency for the Spurs. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. I do want to note that I'm recording this episode at midnight on Saturday morning. Yes, so the Spurs played on Friday night, and so I'm recording this at Saturday morning, which is midnight. Mountain time. So if there's any news regarding the transactions regarding the Spurs when you listen to this episode, you'll know why I didn't cover those, if there's any changes. But first, let's begin with Wemby's first summer league game that took place on Friday evening. I'm going to first start off with the defensive end first, and then from there I will go on and talk about his offense and then some observations that I had, and also some people that I follow on Twitter had as well that I found were very insightful observations. So Wemby's first summer league game took place Friday night, where the Spurs defeated the Hornets by defeated them 76-68. So again, let's talk first about the defensive end for Wemby and his debut on the NBA Summer League floor. So he plays 27 minutes in this game, finishes collecting 8 defensive rebounds, blocks 5 shots in his first game, and also has 4 fouls. And so I'm just going to go basically bullet point by bullet point some of my observations that I made as I was watching the game through each quarter. So for one, you know, where were the Spurs placing him on defense? He was basically, even though he would traditionally look like a 4 or 5, they were putting him more on the wing. So he was playing more like that 3-4 kind of place where he was guarding Brandon Miller for the majority of the game. And then if not, he was guarding some of the players who play the 5, like Kai Jones at times. So that was something interesting, was the fact that the Spurs had him up top a lot more rather than having him down near the block for the majority of the game. For his size, he was up there at the top. Just something I noted very early on was that he was he showed the ability to alter layup attempts by the other players from the Hornets. Some of those players didn't want to drive in against him just because of, you know, that intimidation that he brings with his length there in deterring shots at the rim. Something I noted as well was, because the Spurs were having him play up top, he was having to switch a lot, whether that was on pick and roll, whether that was like on basket weave action from the Hornets, kind of just giving the ball up to another player and dribble handoff kind of action. So that was something interesting, was that they wanted him to kind of command that space up top, and if not, be more of a help defender near the basket when that was the case. There was a possession that I noted where it was the shot clock was drawing near to the end of the shot clock, and Brandon Miller had to basically put up a pretty far three, and Victor actually put his hand up and blocked that shot and then got the ball back on the other end. So that was very notable, showing his length and how he's able to use his length to get some block shots. There was another possession, I think it was in the first half, where he had a really nice help side, but I'm going to call it spike block. And that means that, rather than just swat the shot and throw it out of bounds, he actually spiked it straight to the ground so that the Spurs were able to collect it and take off on the other end. And that was something that's, I think that's a more impactful type of block, because you're keeping the ball in play. And that's where he shows already, Victor, that he has that potential to do that and basically create new possessions for the Spurs if he gets those types of blocks. There was one possession where, for the majority of the game, he was guarding, like I said, he was guarding Miller. And a lot of times he wasn't letting Miller really drive on him, but there was one possession in the second half where Miller did drive on him. And then Victor ended up fouling him. And it looked like Victor got hit in the throat, but they called the foul on Victor. But that was just, again, one notable play where Miller was able to get by him. Then there was a play pretty late in the game. I think it was the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter, where he blocked a shot with the defender trying to avoid the upcoming block. So I don't remember who the player was trying to shoot the ball against him. It was a smaller guard for the Hornets. And it was one of those shots where, like, Victor's going up with his hand and the player, is about to put the shot up, and that player knows, like, he just has to hold that shot before releasing it so that Victor can't block it. And even though he waited to the last second that he could, he still lets the shot go and Victor still takes it down. And that was just so impressive, the fact that, like, if he's already right there in your vicinity and his arm's already up over your shot, it's very hard to hesitate and use like any kind of action to kind of get rid of his arm coming down and swatting that shot. And of course he ended up getting the block there. So that was an impressive play to me on defense for him. And then just something I noted was even late in the game, you just saw that his energy was very high, where he was hustling and helping off the ball at different times. So he was very engaged on defense and he had a really good night there, I would say. Again, 5 blocks in just 27 minutes, 8 rebounds, 4 fouls. So I think that we're going to see an immediate impact from him there on the defensive end of the floor. Now let's talk about his offense. I'm not going to talk too much about the shooting numbers because for several reasons. One, it is just one game. Two, it's just summer league. He hadn't played, since basically that French final. He had only had a few practices with the Spurs. We know that he had the draft. He's like shopping for a home. He had to meet with Nike. There's all these things going on in his life now that he's making his transition to the NBA. And so I'm not going to focus too much again on the shooting stats. If you watch the game, you know that he struggled there. I mean, the numbers say, I'll just go ahead and read the numbers. So he finishes on offense with 9 points, 3 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 of 13 shooting, 1 of 6 from three, and then 4 of 4 from the free throw line. But I really want to talk about is some of the things I saw, the observations that are going to show that down the road, you see why he's going to be like a generational talent. The kind of skill that he possesses and his IQ level are just off the charts. And it's just some of the actions and even some of the shots that he missed, just some of the things that I saw here. So let's talk about some of my observations. So early on in the game, he was missing some of those easy chip shots for him. There was one play that was very interesting to me where I want to say it was Brandon Miller kind of stopped him on the baseline about 14 feet away, about mid-range area. And I thought the possession was over. He does like one dribble, and he's already at the rim, and he tried to like dunk it with two hands. He missed the dunk, but that right there just shows you how, wow, like against one-on-one, when he's able to get through the defender, he can get to the rim so quickly. It reminded me a little bit of just how smoothly Giannis Antetokounmpo is able to do it. And obviously Victor missed a shot. It's going to take him a long time to master that kind of a skill. But again, the fact that he has his length allows him to just kind of he's always a threat at the rim, basically. Even if he's like within like 12, 14 feet, he's going to be dangerous there once he figures out the ball handling and getting more comfortable with the NBA defenses. Cause as I'm going to talk about here, he did struggle on putting the ball on the floor on other possessions. Just another thing I noticed is, you see his size out there and he draws a lot of attention multiple times. The Charlotte defenders are always worried about him. He's drawing 2 or 3 defenders at times. They're always in his vicinity, which left a lot of the other Spurs players with open shots or open driving lanes. And that was something you noticed. You saw Malachi Branham getting layups. You saw Blake Wesley. You saw just different Spurs. Dominic Barlow. A lot of those guys were getting, I would say, just one defender at the rim kind of layups or even none, just because the defense is so you focus on the attention that he's bringing. So you think about the regular season and how he's not going to have those players. A lot of those players are going to be on the bench. He's going to have even better players. He's going to have players like Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Trey Jones. Those are going to be the kind of players getting some open lanes because of the what Colin Reed would say, the gravity that Victor's possessing just by being on the floor, that defense are going to constantly be focused on him and worried about him. There was one play that really showed what a player who is 7'3" should not be doing on the basketball court. And it's what makes Victor so unique. There was a play in the first half, I think it was the first quarter, where the Spurs ran a dribble handoff for him where Blake Wesley brings the ball up top and dribble hands off it to Victor. He like does like a little crossover, burns his guy, and then feeds a teammate because he is drawing so much attention when he does that. And the teammate ended up getting fouled. So, I mean, that was just, wow, just imagine when they have time to actually develop some plays where they can use his speed and his ball handling against other bigs, like traditional players are going to guard him. That's one of those where it's not going to show up in the box score in that 2 of 13 shooting, but it's just one of those plays where, yikes, players just at that size are not supposed to be doing that. And he's capable of doing that with his skill set. Just something else I noticed is that early in the first quarter, you can tell the Spurs are trying to let him get comfortable. So what they would do is they run almost like a 4-out kind of formation where they have 2 corner shooters, 2 players at the above the break 3. And then basically Victor is going 1-on-1 against this guy from up top. And he was able to, drive in and then kick out. Maybe the Spurs player is going to make the shot. But again, that just shows you that when they want to try to get him some ISO possessions, that might be one of the formations they go to. San Antonio is getting him in one of those formations where he can attack up top with a lot of space and then draw on the defense or try to burn his guy and try to get to the rim. And so that was something interesting that the Spurs were already trying with him. And then, of course, we talk about the shooting, how he did struggle, but I just did want to note that, he did spot up from 3, we're obviously going to see, their NBA defenses that they're going to start testing him. You know, they will start to, if they see that he's going to start struggling to make his outside shots, they will leave him open, and then he'll have to basically make them pay for it by actually working on a shot and getting that to start falling. So that's something to watch, is that we do see he's capable of taking that spot of three, but now it's going to be up to him going forward to start making that shot. There was a few times where he did struggle driving into traffic, just probably getting ready, getting used to the speed of the NBA defenses, how the players quickly attack in there and try to get their hands in there. Something that I'm going to talk about later at the end of this is how he said he was just a bit tired. So, you know, that when you're tired, you're not able to have your full energy in making your moves. And so that was something notable as well that you could probably tie to that. And then he showed his ability to shoot the pick and pop three, where he set a screen for his teammate, and then he pops out, and the defense goes toward the teammate, and so he was right there for an open pick and pop three. He missed the shot, but again, it shows that he's comfortable taking that shot, and that will be a shot that again he's going to have to start making down the road, not right now, obviously, but during the season, to make sure that defenses are drawn to him and not just going and trying to take away the rim from his teammates. And then something else I noted was just how comfortable he is getting a defensive rebound and bringing the ball up the floor. You know, that's really easy for him, the ball handling, just bringing the ball up. And it's very early in summer league. He's probably only had like two or three practices, but down the line, once he gets in there with Coach Pop in a full training camp, they may have plays where they want him to start initiating a play whenever he gets those defensive rebounds and starts bringing it up top. So that's something to watch going forward. Again, it's one game, but he did struggle in the post a bit when, when the defense just swarms him, as soon as he catches, he starts getting into attack. The Hornets sent two or three defenders at him, and right there, he lost it a few times. And again, that's just, again, getting adjusted. It's his first game getting used to the new NBA style and speed of the defenders. And then he made a good play at the end of the first half, where he cut off the ball. One of those Spurs players had, I think, in the post or at the 3-point line, and Victor cut off ball. And that player fed him, and Victor was able to draw some free throws. So again, just shows you his high IQ of knowing where the spacing's at, where the open areas are on the floor. In the second half, I had a note here where, he's struggling with his handle, but he's continuing to draw attention. So here's a play where he almost lost the ball. Like he was trying to operate, go one-on-one, and the defender got their hands on the ball, and he's struggling to take care of it. But the fact that he's drawing like two defenders at that time, Blake West ends up getting the ball and ends up getting like a wide open layup or dunk. And so it's just, again, just even when he's making mistakes at times, just the fact that he's drawing in all that defense is something to watch, because again, his teammates are the ones who are getting those open opportunities. If the Spurs are able to maintain the ball. And then there was one play that was also shows his high level of IQ, where he knew that he got a guard switched onto him up top. So he purposely, told his teammates to kind of like spread out. He starts like posting that player and trying to attack him. And of course, the second defender comes in and tries to help, and he kicks it out to a 3-point shooter on the above the break three. The player missed the shot, I believe. But again, it just shows you that he's reading the floor right there. Oh, hey, I got a mismatch. Either I can attack this player or I can kick out to him. And so he read that very quickly, and he's already making those types of plays. So again, that's something good to see. So those are some of my observations that I had on offense. Again, I'm not going to pay too much to the shooting numbers. And now I want to go through just some comments from Coach Nielsen, and also some quotes from Tom Orsborn of the San Antonio Express News, and then a few tweets from some Spurs media that I follow as well. So let's first start off with some quotes regarding Victor. This one's from Tom Orsborn of the San Antonio Express News. He's there in Vegas covering this game. He said, here's one of his quotes. He said, Wemby said there were times when he felt exhausted heading to the bench. So again, just there noting that Victory is admitting, it's different speed here in the NBA game. He hadn't played since those French finals, really, competitive basketball like this. So it's going to take a while for him to adjust and get his conditioning right for the NBA level and the NBA speed. This is also from Tom Orsborn. He said, Wemby said the shortened warmups factored into his shooting struggles. So that was something he wanted to, that Victor noted after the game about one of the reasons why he did struggle to shoot. Coach Matt Nielsen, who's the Spurs Summer League head coach, said this after the game, according to Tom Orsborn, his basketball IQ is elite. And again, some of those possessions that I mentioned earlier of how he's able to draw the attention of the defense, read things on the floor, that's already showing some of that elite skill set that he has in his high basketball IQ. And then this is from our Project Spurs writer, Colin Reed. This is just one of his tweets he wrote, and this is at the end of the game. He said, the defense was as advertised. He will be a force on that end of the at that end from the first day in the NBA. The offense looked a bit forced and tense at time. Clearly looked like the nerves were getting to him a bit. So again, that's just Colin noting that, that he's going to have an immediate impact on the defensive end quickly at the NBA level. And then, of course, we all know that offensively, it's going to take some time for him to figure out the NBA game and where his best spots to attack are, how to kind of adjust to when the defense reacts and tries to, you know, swipe the ball away from him or attack him. So those will be some things that will come along slowly. And then here's also from a tweet from Mike Finger of the San Antonio Express News. He was also there in Vegas covering this game. He said, "The attempts themselves are absurd. He is shooting the basketball from angles that have never been seen on an NBA court before. That they're not going through the hoop isn't quite the point yet." So Mike's here just noting that, you know, yes, we know he shot 2 of 13, but that's not what you should be paying attention to. It's the type of shots that this guy is putting up that we really haven't seen at this type of level for a 7'3" player. So again, those are just some observations from Victor Wembanyama's first Summer League game. So again, it was just one game. I don't know, you know, if he's going to play in the second game or the third game, or, you know, how many games he's going to play in Vegas. It's just one game, but again, I was very impressed with what I saw. I know that the shooting, obviously, if you pay attention to the box score numbers, it's not going to look great with that shooting, with the shooting struggles. But again, it was just one game, and again, I think that's what you got to pay attention to is more so is the observations on both ends of the floor from offense and the defensive perspective. All right, so now that we've gone through the Wemby's opening game, I want to now shift back to free agency. So the last time I recorded a Spurs cast was with Colin Reed before free agency began. We recorded like on a Wednesday before free agency. And so the Spurs have made some moves. Some are official, as you'll see in a bit, and then some are not yet. So I want to kind of go through that and just talk about where the team's roster stands as of a few days into free agency. It's now July, 8th? So 8 days into free agency. Okay. So let's first talk about the Spurs signings. So let's first talk about the official ones. Officially, the Spurs have re-signed Julian Champagne to a 4-year, $12 million deal. So he will be getting $3 million per season. And as you've seen Champagne, he is doing a great job here in Summer League, where he put up like 30 in his first game, 20 in the second game. And then even against the Hornets, he had like 20 or 22 tonight. And so obviously, you know, the Spurs did a great job of not letting him get far into free agency and just signing him right away. Cause yeah, other teams might start looking at him and his performance in Summer League and might want to, you know, offer him a deal, but they can't now. He's already signed that contract. So Champagne will be back for 4 more years. The Spurs also announced that Serge Ibari Rice, who was undrafted out of Texas, will be signing. He has signed a two-way contract, so he will get one of their 3 two-way spots. Now, he hasn't played in any of the Summer League games. They haven't really been putting out injury reports prior like they normally do during regular season games, so there hasn't been too much information, but he is signed to a two-way contract, Serge Ibari Rice. Then the Spurs haven't made this deal official, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. So they're going to re-sign Trey Jones to a 2-year, $20 million deal. And they are also going to re-sign Sandru Mamukelashvili to a 1-year veteran minimum deal, reportedly, these two players. And as I get to the part about state of the roster, I'll let you know exactly why they're holding off most likely on those two players and signing them lastly. The Spurs have also created some trades to absorb some of that cap space that they have. One official trade they had was they acquired Chetty Osman, Lamar Stevens, and 2 future second-round picks from the Cleveland Cavaliers in a 3-team trade with Miami. One thing to note about Lamar Stevens is that his contract is partially guaranteed, but we don't know exactly how much just yet. That hasn't been made public. And then the Spurs are also going to acquire Reggie Bullock of the Dallas Mavericks and an unprotected 2030 Mavs pick swap. That one has not gone through either. And so now as I get to the next segment, I'll kind of tell you why some of those deals have not been made official yet. Okay, so now let's talk about where does the roster stand now. Okay, so here's a reason why Trey Jones and Sandro Mamukelashvili probably have not got signed just yet. There, now that free agency is the moratorium has lifted, which it lifted on July 6th, there is a sequence where you have to do your order of transactions in a certain way in order to preserve as much cap space as possible. So right now, with the moves that the Spurs have done, which is official, is signing Champagne and trading for Osman and Stevens, the Spurs are right now sitting with $18.5 million in cap space. That's basically based on the order of transactions that they've participated in. So that cap space is going to shrink a little bit when they make the Reggie Bullock trade official. And then they're going to hold off on signing Mamu and Trey Jones last, most likely, if they want to preserve that cap space, because Mamu really isn't like on the roster. They're going to sign him eventually whenever it's time to sign him, but his veteran minimum cap hole won't be there just yet. They can save that for last. And also Trey Jones, his cap hold is only his bird rights, which was like $2 million. And so once they sign him though, that's going to go up to $10 million. So basically after they spend their cap space, they are allowed to go over the cap and sign Jones with his bird rights. So again, if we don't see them sign those two players for a few more days or maybe weeks, it means that they are trying to do some sort of move where they're trying to use the last remaining part of that $18.5 million in cap space after the Bullock trade. I do expect the Bullock trade to happen soon. That might be on Dallas or Boston's end, because those are the other two teams that are participating in that trade. So something's going on there. Again, there's no reason why you should wait to trade for Reggie Bullock. The Spurs can do that. That's already accounted into their future projections here. But again, the part that's interesting is the fact that they haven't signed Mamu and Trey Jones just yet. So again, I think that's something to watch, that if they wait a few more days to not sign Mamu and Trey Jones, they're going to get signed eventually. But again, they're looking probably behind the scenes and making some sort of move to use that final remaining $18.5 million of cap space somewhere, whether that's trying to sign a free agent or participate in another trade. And that was something that Michael Scotto of, who does he write for, hoopshype.com, wrote about recently, that the Spurs are still being one of those teams that are saying to teams like, hey, if you want to send us some draft picks or future assets, you know, we'll take a bad contract or an unwanted contract that you don't want here into our cap space. So that might be why the Spurs haven't signed Jones and Mamu just yet. So again, I do expect the Reggie Bullock trade to happen soon. I don't see why there's a reason why they're holding that off. But the Mamu and Jones signings could take a while, just because they got to preserve their low number for their cap holds before going and signing both of those players. Now, one objective that the Spurs have accomplished once all these duns are final, so these deals will get done eventually, is they are now done with crossing the minimum team salary. So one of the big things about this new CBA was all this, these new remarks that you had to spend your cap space, you have to get to a certain number, the salary floor, or else you only get 50% tax distribution. The next year, you don't get any money in the tax distribution. Well, the Spurs have done their job there. They have now, once they trade for Bullock and they re-sign Jones and Mamu, they're going to have a team salary of $130.4 million, which will cross that minimum team salary of $122.4 million. So they're fine there. Even if they waive players, those players' remaining salary that they're waived there, it stays on the Spurs' books. That's applied to that $130.4 million salary. So again, they have crossed that number now. And where does it leave them once all these deals are finalized? They still have $5.5 million left in cap space. And also they have the $7.7 million room mid-level exception to sign free agents. Now, I don't, just looking at the transactions they made, it doesn't look like they're going to try to sign any free agents. But if they wanted to, they could use those two avenues of cap resources to do that. So again, the Spurs are done with that objective of reading the minimum team salary. They have accomplished that goal with these trades and signings. Now, the Spurs will have to make some roster moves before the first game of the regular season in October. So currently, once all these deals are finalized, they're going to have 17 players on the roster, which means that they're going to have to waive or trade two players before opening night. So my thinking is, this is just my opinion, I'm not reporting, is that if they cannot find trades that reduce the roster size, then they're probably going to have to waive two players. And I would just say those two players are probably Lamar Stevens, just because he has a partially guaranteed contract, and also Ken Burch, just because he does have a larger contract, $6.7 million. He's in the final year of his deal, but he really hasn't been a part of the team where last year he never played a game with San Antonio. Once he got traded there, he was on the injured list. And, I don't know how much they want to have him as part of their future plans. So again, if they have to waive two players, I would say right now it's probably Stevens and Burch. Cedi Sissoko, somebody interesting to watch right now, their second round undrafted player. He's actually had a good start in the summer league defensively. We've seen that he has a lot of potential there, where he's doing a great job in that first game against Brandon Miller. He's just a really good defender, just really good defensive instincts, keeping his man in front of him, hustling off the ball, making plays weak side. Offensively, he's very raw. He still needs a lot of work there. And so the reason why I say he remains unsigned is because most second round picks for the Spurs, they usually sign those players to two-way contracts. So I was assuming going into free agency that, oh, Sissoko will be on a two-way contract. However, there was a report out of one of the French outlets called L'Equipe, I believe, where they had reported that the Spurs were going to offer Sissoko a full roster spot. So it's been multiple days now, into free agency, 8 days, and they still haven't signed him to any type of deal, whether it's two-way or full season. So again, maybe they're evaluating how he does in summer league to figure out which kind of contract to give him. I'm not sure. So, I think they'll eventually sign him to one of those two deals, but right now Sissoko is still unsigned as a second round pick. And then lastly, another player to watch is Dominic Barlow. He is still a restricted free agent with a qualifying offer from San Antonio to return on a two-way contract. So we saw that he had a very impressive opening night in the California Classic Summer League, where he dropped like 24 and 10, I believe, in that first game. Then he had a little bit more quiet game against the Lakers. And so Barlow is probably that player who's trying to see if, you know, will another NBA team offer him a deal, a full roster deal, and then have the Spurs try to match that? Or is he maybe trying to impress San Antonio to get a full roster spot before he signs that qualifying offer to return on a two-way? So that's what it looks like right now in the delay, in my opinion, of why Barlow hasn't signed or hasn't returned yet on a two-way. Maybe he's trying to get a full roster spot from either the Spurs or another team. Those are just that's just how I'm reading that. All right, so I want to say thank you all for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe. Have a great day.